Good morning. What a magnificent song we just sang. Absolutely incredible words. Because it speaks so much to what our need is and how God fulfills and answers that need that we all have. Well, everything is right in the world now. Janet's back. So, things are good. Appreciate your presence this morning, your desire to worship the Lord. You know, we spend a lot of time, or oftentimes we talk about the gospel. And the word sometimes is used not in the sense, not in the biblical sense, but in the sense that we use it as a metaphor sometimes for the truth. We say, and that's the gospel. Like that's the absolute truth about that. Or we may pick up a book years ago that was a book written called The Gospel According to Peanuts. But it's used oftentimes in different ways rather than the way that the Bible uses it. The word itself is an Anglo-Saxon word meaning the story concerning God. In the New Testament, it is from a Greek word meaning good news. It proclaims tidings of deliverance, this gospel that we have. It stands oftentimes for the record of the life of Christ. And if we look, and we're just going to kind of go through some things about what the Bible says about the gospel this morning. It embraces all of the teachings of Jesus. This gospel, this good news that we have. It means the message which Christianity announces to the world. It means a gift from God. It is the proclamation of the fact that God is the Redeemer and He's come to redeem mankind and He proclaims the forgiveness of sins and sonship restored. Sonship that we have with Christ. It means remission of sins. It means reconciliation with God. A peace that passes all understanding. It is the message of salvation. We have an inkling that all of this is going to come to pass way back in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we are told that there is a seed that would come. We are told in Genesis 12 that the seed of Abraham will be blessed. And that we are told in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16 that the seed which the writers were talking about, the Holy Spirit was talking about, was Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, the gospel was a part of God's plan of how He was going to redeem mankind. This proclamation, this gospel is indicated in places like Acts 10, verse 43, in Romans 4. Prophets, through the word, prophets as speaking the word of God, proclaim salvation and the forgiveness of sins. In the New Testament, the word gospel never means simply a book, but it is a message. And it is a message, surprisingly, that permeates every aspect of the New Testament. We sometimes focus in on just a few of those passages, but yet it is everywhere when we turn. It is referred to as the gospel of God. It is referred to also as the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is referred to as the gospel of the grace of God. It is said that it is the gospel of peace. It is the gospel of our salvation. And it is referred to as the glorious gospel. This gospel is, in fact, Jesus Christ. He is the subject of the gospel. He is the object of it. And He is the very life of the gospel. It was preached in the beginning by Jesus Christ. It is preached by the apostles. It is preached by evangelists. People like Peter and Paul and Barnabas and John and Philip speak of this gospel that God has for us that offers salvation. In the beginning of the New Testament, you look at places like Matthew 4, verse 23, or Matthew 9 and verse 35. It is that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. So what kingdom is that? Well, there is a kingdom that is prophesied in Daniel chapter 2 that is going to be established and it will never be destroyed. It will reign forever and ever. Jesus, in speaking about this kingdom, says to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." It never was intended to be an earthly reign and an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual reign and a spiritual kingdom in the hearts and the minds of people. This kingdom, Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, the rule and the realm, where He is to reign as King eternally, always in our hearts. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 14, it says that Jesus preached the gospel of God. So not only is the gospel referred to as the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it is referred to also as the gospel of God. In Mark 1 and verse 14, it is talked about as the kingdom of God being at hand. It is near. You see, even Jesus' disciples had a hard time dealing with what He was saying about the kingdom. Questions like, "Do you now restore the kingdom?" They misunderstood the nature of the kingdom. Peter himself, one of the people that you would think would have understanding about what the kingdom is, got confused between the spiritual aspect and physical when he wanted to defend Jesus with the sword. Jesus told him, "That is not what this is about. If it were," he said, "then would my disciples fight this gospel." It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, the gospel talks about the fact that we will repent and that we believe in the gospel. We believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what God has established for us. The good tidings, the Christ message. That's what this gospel of Jesus Christ is. So what about this gospel that comes? In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, there is a coming together of two words which referring to the same concept when it talks about the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. Not just a truth, but the truth of the gospel. In Colossians 1 and verse 23, Paul talks about a hope that we have. He says it is the hope. The hope that we have is the hope of the gospel. That's what the gospel brings. Hope and salvation. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, a passage that we refer to often. Chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says this. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Whatever the gospel is, whatever it encompasses, the very being and the life of Jesus Christ and who He was and what His mission was when He came to this earth to seek and to save the lost. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." And then he says, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You remember they took the gospel message to the Jews first, and they rejected it. Not only did they reject the gospel, they rejected the person of Jesus Christ, who was in fact the gospel. It was the power. It is the power of God to salvation. It brings that. It is for everyone, Jew and Greek, male or female, bond or free. The gospel is, as the song says, for all. Anyone that would come to Christ on bended knee, worshiping Him, acknowledge the fact that He is the one and only Son of the living God. The gospel. It is the power. It's why we can never get away from what the gospel message is and what it says. Because the power is in that. The power is not in people. It's not in a person. It would be interesting to know and be interesting to have heard all of the gospel preachers in the first century, and to hear what their emphasis was and their approach was. Or did they simply just preach the gospel? Not from a charismatic perspective, but from a majestic perspective of being the hope, the anchor in Jesus Christ of our soul. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 16, we are told that we can obey the gospel. So the words that come and that proclaim Jesus Christ are words that affect us, where we have a choice of either to obey or to reject this gospel. We are told in Romans 15 and verse 29 that there are blessings that we have that are connected with the gospel. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3 and reading down through verse 14, enumerates the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. These are the blessings of the gospel themselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15 says that we are begotten through the gospel. So without the gospel, there is no being begotten, being born again, being part of a new relationship that we have. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, we are told that this gospel is the gospel of Christ. He is the central figure. So when we talk about gospel meetings, are we talking about Jesus? Are we talking about He, the fact that He is the center of everything? It should be. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul tells us some disturbing things about the gospel. In chapter 1 in verse 7, he tells us that the gospel can be perverted. But he says this, he tells us that if anyone brings a different gospel, whether an angel or men, he says it really isn't a gospel, because it is a perversion of what the truth is. Call it what you will. There is but one gospel. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter, Paul says, whether an angel or men preach something different. It is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not. This gospel is presented in such a way that it can be communicated in chapter 2 and verse 2 of Galatians to others. There would be no value in a gospel that could not be communicated and could not be spread to other people. And the story of the gospel was spread throughout the ancient world to the point where everyone had heard about who Jesus Christ was and what He did. Paul also talks about it in Galatians 2 and verse 7 as the gospel of uncircumcision. It is, as Paul says in another place, it is a circumcision of the heart. It is the cutting away of the world. It is yielding our will to the will of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, we are told that this gospel is the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. And in doing so, we are placed in a relationship with God. The New Testament talks about it as the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Again, He is the central figure. He is the one that we turn to. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says that there is a fellowship that we have in the gospel. There is a sharing that we have that stems from what the gospel preaches. There is a confirmation that takes place of the gospel. There is a faith that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the facts that have been presented that creates faith for us. We believe what has been presented, what the Holy Spirit guided the inspired men of old to say. That creates the faith that we have, the belief. We serve in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Service. It's such an important aspect of this gospel of Christ because Jesus came to serve. He says He did not come to be served. And when we finally realize what that means to serve God and to serve others, it makes it easier for us to deal with situations that come along where people might ignore or take for granted or not even appreciate the service that we are offering and that we are rendering because we are children of God. I cannot imagine what it would be like to be the one that came to this earth who served others and yet was rejected by men, was nailed to the cross. We get upset sometimes because people don't appreciate the service that we offer. Jesus. People didn't appreciate Him. The service that He offered, not at all. Even the apostles, when he was washing their feet, had a difficult time dealing with the situation. Peter especially had trouble with that. In Philippians 4 and verse 3, Paul talks about those who labor in the gospel. They work for the gospel. The way Paul puts it to the Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 2 is speaking the gospel. It's communicated. But then the sad thing is that despite everything that is being said about the gospel that comes through the words of the inspired men, in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, we are told that there are those who refuse to obey the gospel. This gospel truth, they just refuse to do it. But when we come to God, when we come to Jesus, We are called by this gospel and by this gospel message. So how can people come to the Lord without having heard the gospel? Our faith is based upon the facts and what it is that we hear. By the words of God. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8, Paul, in writing to Timothy, says that there are going to be afflictions of the gospel. But the flip side of that, not only are there afflictions of the gospel, there is a transformation of the gospel that takes place. We are transformed into what God would have us to be and how He would have us to live. And then Paul reminds Timothy that we are raised according to the gospel. Raised in the likeness of Jesus Christ. We are bondservants in the gospel. In Acts chapter 20 and 24, we are told that this gospel is the gospel of grace. So all of these things, you bring them all together and we have an amalgam of what it is that the gospel is. It's not one single thing. It is about one single man who came to this earth, who died for us. This gospel is something that can be heard and something that can be obeyed. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is a place where everything seems to come together in a few short verses about this gospel. Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, "Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye received, wherein also ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you hold fast, except you believed in vain. That which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He has been raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to others, first to Peter, then to others." The gospel, Paul says, this gospel can be preached. That's what we've been saying. It can be preached. This gospel, you received the gospel. You changed your life. You became obedient to it. He said, "What you received, I received." This gospel in which you stand, in which you are saved. He says, this comes about if, and here's our part, if you hold fast. It's what he says in verse 2. He says, "If you hold fast the word which I preached unto you," and this word he preached to him is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's up to them to hold fast to it. This gospel of Christ. In verse 3 and 4, he says, "I received this gospel." This same one, this is not a different one. This is the same one that I've preached to you. He said that Christ died for our sins according to what the Scriptures have said and what the prophecies say. He was buried just like it was prophesied. He was raised on the third day according to the Scripture, and He appeared to a whole host of people. The evidence all came together in the resurrection, and people saw that He was raised. Jesus Christ. See, Christ died for our sins. He also says, he makes the point that we must never forget. He said, you can believe in vain. So if you believe in vain, then this gospel means nothing to you. If you believe in vain, that means you are still in your sins. He says in the latter part of chapter 15, and that you're still lost if you believe in vain. But if you believe from the heart, based upon the facts, based upon the person of Jesus and what He has done, then this gospel I'm preaching to you has great meaning. This is the gospel that saved you. This is the gospel that all of us who have come to Jesus have obeyed. This is the gospel that we must proclaim to others. We must be familiar enough with it so we can talk to others about what the New Testament says about the gospel. Jesus Christ. The gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom has come. This rule and this reign of Jesus in our hearts. We can't ever forget that. That's where it all must rest. And that is in Jesus Christ. And it is this salvation that we proclaim. It is this salvation that brings us hope. So the question is, where are you in relation to the gospel and in your faith and what you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe what the gospel says about Him? If you do, then the next step is yours to become a child of God, to be baptized into Jesus Christ, and raised to walk in newness of life, in the likeness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Or as a child of God, if you are struggling with your life, if you've come to the realization that you need to again make changes, that you've fallen back into the world and been pulled into it, what we are told in the gospel is that if you go to Jesus, you go to God through Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness, that He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. So whatever your need, won't you please come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.